Welcome back to another episode of All Up On Your Business with First Union Lending. I'm Chad.
We got DNA.
And Tim.
Today we are joined by our special guest, Brandon Burns. Brandon is the owner and operator of National Triad Defense, a CCW instructor in Nevada. And he is also the president of Freedom of Choice or Freedom for Choice?
Freedom of Choice.
Freedom of Choice organization. So, Brandon, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little about yourself and what you've been got going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I am a firearm instructor and company owner out here in Las Vegas. I've been doing firearms instruction for about the last 12 years. Today, I've probably taught over 11,000 students how to train to use their firearm for self-defense and conceal weapons. And I was involved in the firearm industry for many years here until the recent COVID climate, you could say, in which there was a situation where I stood up against the mandates when I was managing a gun shop here. And I basically walked into a shop that I was managing and told them I refused to wear the mask on my face because this is against my beliefs. I think this is wrong. This is being used for control and not COVID. And it had since sparked them sending me home, which made me end up opening up a massive organization called Freedom of Choice. And I started a nonprofit organization, which since has started several protests and rallies in Las Vegas here, where we've had up to 10 to 15,000 people on the Las Vegas Strip multiple times, to include one here today. And even started me with working with paralegals, suing the Clark County School Board for over $200 million. And I'm even taking the governor of our state to Supreme Court against the mandates as well.
So you got a little bit going on.
quite a bit to say the least. So, to be honest with you, buddy, I just wanted to be left alone. I never would have thought in a million years I would have been in the being an activist. I mean, it's quite incredible. I would rather just be at home with, you know, my kids or going to the gym or shooting guns. And here I am organizing, you know, multiple thousand people protests on the Las Vegas Strip, which has started to go international.
So, Brandon, have you become more of an activist than a gun-toting business owner?
As of late, yes. The truth of the matter is, you know, I really only do my CCW classes 2 to 3 times a month. So that's really the only time I'm actually involved in firearms. Now, the other days of the month, it's always on my phone, sending messages, managing the Facebook accounts, the website addresses, you know, promoting the rallies in themselves. And I've been doing tons and tons of podcasts and shows and radio shows and with some of the most influential people in the world. You know, David Harris Jr., Hodge Twins, even Donald Trump Jr. had shared my video to his page of some of the stuff that I did. So it's been quite incredible.
Now, did you said you had a rally. Was this today or is it still to be had?
It is to be had. It's actually going to be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. here on the Las Vegas Strip, starting at the Aria Casino. This will be the third one that I've actually put on the Las Vegas Strip. We even did one at the Raiders Stadium during the first Raiders and Monday Night Football game a couple of months ago, about a month ago, give or take. And there was about 4,000, 5,000 people out there as well. But this one is going to be massive. This one is very, very huge. It's gained a lot of attention, a lot of attraction. The casinos are starting to change their business operations based off of the protests because of what happened last time, and we've had people message me that they are coming from all over the country to be here for this tonight.
Wow, very nice. Have these protests stayed mostly compliant with the rules and regulations there in Las Vegas, or have you had any issues?
No, I mean, it's actually completely against it. I mean, you know, out here in the state of Nevada, Governor Sisolak, he's enforcing his will and his fears upon us, plain and simple. And that's what all these people are doing. That's what these mandates are in general, is they're forcing their own fears and their own personal beliefs on people. And that's not what freedom is. Freedom, at the end of the day, is about making a choice. And a lot of time to think about that. You know, we talk about being in America and what is, you know, the land of the free? What does the freest country actually mean? And most people just don't have an answer for me. And I've told them, well, freedom is a choice. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you have a choice to brush your teeth. You have a choice what clothes to wear. You have a choice to practice what religion you want, to speak the things you want to say or to not say the things you want to say. Everything that we do in life is about making a choice. And to include now, we have this situation where there's a new style of segregation in this country where it's about vaccinated, unvaccinated, and masked and unmasked. And at the end of the day, your freedom relies on you being able to make your own choice. And we have tons of government officials and people in this country right now who are trying to enforce their own will and their own fears upon us, and that's not freedom.
Yeah, what do you say to people that you know have the argument that Yeah, your freedom, your choice is 100% right. But if, you know, if it involves possibly endangering others, right, then it shouldn't be that much of a free choice.
And that's absolutely understandable how some people think that way. But plain and simple, you have one life to live, and it is your life, and you are not responsible for what other people do. You know, at the end of the day, the more important factor is you being a free human and being allowed to live your life free of segregation and free of hindrance and restraint, plain and simple. The more important factor is human freedom choice. You know, I hear people say, like, well, you know, if you're not vaccinated, then I could get sick and then I could die. Okay, well, pathogens and viruses have existed for hundreds of thousands of years, and nobody ever thought that way until right now, because right now it's being used for political control and gain and fear. You know, the exact same concept. We'll take the most dangerous creature in the world, right? The one creature that causes more death and agony than any other animal on this planet, and that's a mosquito, right? You know, because of dengue fevers and, you know, malaria and everything like this. Let's say I have malaria. If a mosquito bites me and then it goes and bites somebody else and they get malaria and they die, am I responsible for that? No, I'm not. The mosquito is responsible for that. Okay, if I have COVID and then somebody else gets COVID and they get sick and maybe die from it, am I responsible? No. COVID is responsible, plain and simple. And this whole we need to blame everybody else for COVID is absolute BS. And this has got to stop, you know. And again, this is not about COVID anymore. This is about control. And if you give up the choice to be a human, there's no more, or, you know, or if you give up your freedoms of making a choice, there's no more point in being human.
It's one hell of a situation right now, because we definitely... Yes. Yeah.
It is definitely being politicized. I mean, there's no question about that. Back to the mosquitoes, you know, humans are probably... much worse than mosquitoes.
Dennis is of the belief that humans are the most deadliest creature on the planet.
Besides house cats.
Oh my God, house cats.
Brian, quick question. So, like, the way I see it, like, you know what I'm saying? You see movies about this and all different, actually in real life, progressions of those rallies. Eventually they grow in size and it gets to the point you can actually physically, like, yourself run against the governor and then overthrow. Do you see yourself progressing in a direction possibly... like growing your audience and like followers and trying to run against
it? Well, what I'm definitely trying to do is I'm progressing my growth to be a person who affects change in this world. I don't want to be political. And I want to be plain and simple, even though I have now made a lot of high-end politician friends. I hate politicians, and I have always hated the political field and spectrum, and I will always continue to hate it. But I have the ability to affect change. I have the ability to speak to people and understand their thought processes and really help, you know, get everybody together and stop fighting in segregation. And I have aligned myself with people who are in political parties, people who are running for governor and people who are running for the Senate and everything. And I will help them. You know, if I feel that their head is in the right place and they are here to really affect change and allow people to get their freedoms back, I will support them. I'll use my influence to help, you know, get them votes. But for as far as me running for office indirectly, it's not something I'm ever interested in, and I don't foresee myself ever being interested in. But, you know, again, I just wanted to be left alone at the end of the day. You know, I never thought I would be doing this. I still don't want to be doing this. I would just rather be with my daughters and shooting guns on the range and going to the gym and, you know, just living life, you know, not putting on rallies. But somebody had to stand up, you know.
Yeah,
somebody,
you know,
had
to
fight.
Yeah, and I agree with that. It used to be where you were trained or taught, you know, as a child, that your dog licking you was like, you know, a super cool thing. And that was for the simple purpose of passing the pathogens around, right, and helping you build that immunity. We just had the, you know, podcast last week where we spoke about Florida now being one of the states that used to be the worst and now has the lowest COVID rate. Infections and deaths, right? And that was because, you know, from what we could gather, at some point, Floridians just said, screw this shit, right? We're not going to stay inside anymore. We're not going to wear our masks. And I think that, yeah, it was bad for a while, but I think it burned through, right? And so now we've got one of the lowest death rates in the country as a result of that. So, you know, there are definitely some points you're making which are valid, right? Yes, there's going to be sick people. People will die. Happens with everything, with every pathogen, with the flu, you know, all the other things out there. Getting to the point where... you know, it is a little bit ridiculous, right? And I do agree with that. You know, and it can be ridiculous from both sides. There's going to be people on both ends, that, just like with politicians, that are, you know, either too far left or too far right, right? But there's a common sense ground somewhere in the middle. And I think that's where everybody has to live, right?
That's where I mean, and what's really scary is when we see the current environment is they're really using fear to, you know, convince people to live this way. And that's what really sucks the most. And I got to make myself very clear on here. I am not anti-mask. You know, I'm not anti-vax. I think you are not supposed to have a mask on your face. Don't get me wrong. And I definitely do not like that vaccine personally. But if you want to get it, then get it. If you want to wear the mask, then wear it. That's completely fine. But my choice as a human to not want it and not get the vaccination should be equally respected just as much as I should respect you. You know, because that's the new style of segregation that they're starting in this country. You know, you to be segregation against gays and straights and blacks and whites and males and females. And it really has moved into let's segregate people now because they don't put this chemical in their body that they don't want to. And then it's a massive amount of coercion we're seeing here. You know, either you do it or you lose your job, or you lose your lifestyle. This is wrong to its core. This is absolute segregation. And
It's definitely a shit show. You know, it used to at some point it was religion, right? And it was okay for you to go around knocking on people's doors, and still is, and trying to introduce and enforce your religion upon other people. You know, religion's become less and less of a mainstream thing, you know, as time goes on and people just become more educated in general. And then, you know, money, right? Then, you know, obviously the government want to control everybody with the money. Now that the money's going into crypto and these different things where the government is losing control, they're looking for other ways to still gain that control, and some of that fear that's being propagated by this whole, you know, COVID thing, I think is a way for them to keep some level of control, right?
Oh, yeah. And let's make no mistake about it here. You know, the higher ups in the government and the pharmaceuticals are definitely in bed with each other. They own each other's stocks. And this is no secret anymore. We've known this for decades. You know, the pharmaceutical companies, they are out for fixing the symptoms. They're not out for fixing the cure because there's no money in the cure. So what are they supposed to do right now? Well, Pfizer and, you know, Johnson & Johnson, let's push these vaccinations. Let's make billions and billions and billions of dollars because we don't want to tell everybody, hey, just treat it like a slightly worse flu. Take some zinc, eat soup, stay hydrated, don't touch each other, you'll be just fine. No, there's no money in that, you know? And it's very obvious that that's what's going on. And it's scary, really.
Yeah, I mean, the whole no touching everybody, that's just, I'm out on that. Yeah,
right? Like, did we forget general rule of thumb. How basic pathogens work, right? What happened here? It's really ridiculous, and it's almost mind-blowing. You know, sometimes now recently I've started to understand the verbiage, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, look, if you segregate everybody, you stick everybody in the house, and again, I agree with some points. I'm vaccinated, right? I did take the vaccine, and, you know, I'm not pushing it on anybody else, nor is anybody doing anything, you know, to me to bother me with that. But, you know, there's a point where everybody's locked up, everybody's separated, right? And now, naturally, your immune system already starts to decline because you're not being exposed. You're using hand sanitizers all day, and your immune system is going to diminish as a result of that, making it even more difficult to actually fight off COVID when you do get COVID, right?
Of course. Yeah, I actually just got COVID last week. I've never been vaccinated, never had anything like that. For just a few days, I had a fever, and I got on ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, D3, and zinc. And then that was it. Within two, three days, almost 100% back to normal.
So you know,
are ways to fix this stuff, but they're not being told. The public is not been given the proper information to actually make a decision, and especially how much the mainstream media lies. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, there are people who get vaccinated and nothing happens to them whatsoever, like yourself. There are people who get vaccinated and they get extremely sick and they have died. Like, that's plain and simple, but they're lying about that. And it really ticks me off that they want to lie that that can't happen to people. It's the exact same concept as like a food allergy. Biologically, we are not all the same. You know, we have different sexes, races, you know, pre-existing injuries, ages, and somebody can eat a peanut and they'll be just fine. And another person can eat a peanut and their throat closes up and they die because they just don't react biologically and chemically the same to certain things. Well, that's the exact same thing with this vaccination. People are being hurt. People are being killed. It's new. I got questions. And since I got questions, I don't want it in my body. So stop coercing me and, you know, threatening me to lose my job and others to lose their job if they don't want that. Just let us have our freedom to make our own choice.
So just to touch on that a little bit here, so kind of circling back to the gun shop situation, I don't know if you are in a position to talk about that or not. Are you comfortable going into that at all?
Sure. I can talk about anything.
Was this just for, you know, concern of the people coming in, or was that really their stance overall?
No. So here in the state of Nevada, our governor is very much left-leaning. You know, they're Democrats. They've aligned themselves with something called the Governor and Western PAC Alliance, and they're extremely liberal, extremely democratic, extremely controlling, and they have the mandates out here still. Everybody who works at a business has to wear a mask. Every customer, they want to wear masks, and they're really pushing hard on it. And at the end of the day, business owners are scared because you have a governor that says that if you don't tell your employees to put this mask on your face, if you don't tell your customers to put a mask on your face, we will come in and fine you and shut your business down. Wow. And this is extortion and coercion. And, you know, I fought for rights. You know, I was in the United States Army. I served with the 4th Infantry Division in Iraq in 2006. We lost over 11 guys in my battalion. My lieutenant was killed in the same vehicle with me. I have fought for the names of freedoms. And I had had enough. I walked into that gun shop and I told him, like the previous week, I said, hey, I'm not wearing that mask on my face no more. This is wrong. This is illegal. This is against human rights and beliefs to not make our own choice. It's like, when I come to work, I'm not putting it on. I said, I'm not quitting. I'm here to work. I'm here to do my job. But that thing's not going on my face. And things got really awkward and really intense for a while, for a few hours. And he's like, are you seriously not going to put this on your face? I was like, yes. He's like, what are you going to do? I was like, you have to send me home, like, or you're going to deal with it, plain and simple. And it came to the decision where he's like, all right, I'm going to have you go home because they're afraid of getting their business shut down because of the governor and getting fined. But I was going to stand up for what I believed in. And they sent me home after managing that place and being a huge part of it for 6.5 years. And because of my following and being the face of the company, I went home and I did a video about it, explaining it, and it went viral. And from there on, I had tons of people running for office and governor and senators contacting me like, hey, we saw your video. We saw what you did. Why don't you do something? And I'm like, what do you mean what do I do? I just want to be left alone. I'm at home now. He's like, well, why don't you protest at the governor's building? And I was like, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. And within a day, I made a Facebook group called Las Vegas Freedom of Choice. And within a matter of 4 weeks, it grew to almost 50,000 people and massive following, and tons of influential people reached out to me. And then it just happened, you know, and I started this organization, and there's been thousands of people out there, and there's videos I've done, you know, suing the school board, and it's just gone all over the country.
How do you feel? So, you know, and there's some circumstances, and again, you know, I'm kind of, I lean towards the common sense side, right? Mm-hmm. And so not, you know, not driven politically, you know, nor really based on ideals, right? And so, mm-hmm. you know, there are some circumstances, you know, if you're a nurse at a retirement center, right? You know, mm-hmm. And so you've got the people that are most vulnerable to this disease at that location. You know, is it okay for masks to be mandated and something like that? On the other hand, I don't see many 80-year-olds walking around with AR-15s. And so these are, you know, not likely the clients that are going to be looking to, you know, to visit gun stores. And so that's kind of an asinine thing, you know, on that end for me, because of the fact that, you know, why do you need a mask in a gun store, right? You've already got the clientele in there that's, you know, usually not wearing the mask anyway, and they're usually not going to be 80 or 90 years old. Is there a separation in between where you feel, look, you know, there are certain things. I mean, the old people in the nursing home don't have much of a choice. They're there. They can't get up and walk away, right? Should that mask be mandated over there but not at the gun shop? And, you know, do you have some middle ground?
You know, middle ground, I can understand when it comes to like hospitals and everything like that. You know, you're dealing with bloodborne pathogens, and you're fixing people with gunshot wounds and open cuts and blood and everything like that. So this understands you need to take certain precautions to, you know, stop the transfer of fluids and viruses and everything like this. That's just basic medical treatment 101, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a nursing home and you're a care provider, that's also basic, you know, healthcare providing 101. You know, you use PPE, personal protective equipment.
Sure.
But mandating anything, none whatsoever, plain and simple, mm-hmm. no mandates. Like, you do not come in to human life and tell us how we live our life, plain and simple. You don't mandate it. You don't make it a requirement. I mean, we've had tons of elderly who came out and, you know, they choose to put themselves in crowds. Do they know they're at higher risk? Yes. Is that their freedom to choose to do that? Yeah, still. That is the most important factor, is allowing humans to be free to make their own choice. Because again, if you take this away, the ideology of freedom is no longer there anymore. And that's just being a slave. That's being a robot. I mean, if you look at the core definition directly, the core definition of freedom is the right to act, think, or speak in a certain way without hindrance or restraint. That's what freedom is. And now we are being hindered. We are being restrained. We're being told what to think. We're being told how to act. We're, you know, and now they're even making it to where here in Nevada that if you speak out against the vaccination injuries, they can actually prosecute you.
That sounds more just like, because more you like spoke against it.
That's craziness. They can actually really. This is.
People don't know this happened here in Nevada. This happened about a month ago, where the board members actually voted to approve it to where if you. Just freedom of speech. If you speak against the vaccination injuries or anything like that, they can charge you and take you to court. Like, that is straight government tyranny right there. That doesn't get any more clear than dictatorship and tyranny right there. That's Brandon, freedom of speech. I should say whatever the hell I want. I should be able to lie if I want freely.
Right. Let me, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, right? So just so that we can have a good conversation, right?
But, oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, so at what level does this stop? And the reason I'm asking is this. You know, there are plenty of people out there, and I'm sure you've ran into quite a few, that aren't capable of making, you know, their own choices that are going to be for the good of anything for the most part, right? Should those people be allowed to make their own choices? And I mean, should we run around like the Wild West and just be able to, hey, it's high noon, come outside. We're choosing to have this, you know, this just shooting in the middle of the street. And that's, you know, that's okay. And I'm going, you know, this is way far out, but where does a line drawn?
You know, when I tell people about this, like when we're talking about the freedom to make our own choice, your freedom should be allowed. So as long as your freedom does not directly cause physical harm or financial harm to somebody else, plain and simple. You know, if me deciding to eat a food or go to a show or buy a car or wear a mask or not get a shot, that harms nobody. That is something that's directly only myself, plain and simple. You know, but I'm not going to say, you know, I should just go out and pull my gun out and start shooting in the middle of the street where people can get killed. You know, that directly affects
that's a good choice.
Physical danger, right?
and again, listen, just so you understand, you know, and again, this is just for the sake of conversation, right? I don't disagree with some of the stuff you're saying whatsoever, right? I mean, you've got some very valid points. But again, you know, this goes back to, again, and you sort of answered this question, but I'm re-asking it anyway because new information is coming out. So, you know, if you are out there and you are a carrier of COVID, right, and you're inserting yourself into situations where you can cause physical damage to somebody else, you know, number one, and number two, you know, to the gun situation, the gun store, you could cause, you know, financial damage to a business, right? And again, I understand it's because of the mandate. I get that, you know, but even before mandates, there were, you know, places where people were going and getting mass infected and dying. Churches, one of them, right? And so again, where do we draw that distinction? Into, I can't shoot out in the street because I might kill somebody, but I should be allowed to sneeze, you know, within 3 feet of somebody else when I have COVID, right?
Yeah, of course. You know, and there's so many different situations, and you can't pretend to have the answer for every single one, but it really comes down to what I would consider maybe to be direct intention of harm versus indirect intention of harm. You know, if there's somebody out there who has, you know, Ebola or malaria or COVID, for whatever that matter, and they are purposely going out and crying. I mean, we've seen this. I saw this not too long ago. They're going out to the stores and they're taking fruit and they're coughing on it and they're spitting on it and they're licking it.
Yeah, licking the shopping carts. Yeah,
that's gross.
Yes, right, and I've seen that. That is a direct intention to cause harm. You know, they meant to do this. That was direct. You know, if I have a virus or something, and whether I know it or even if I don't know it, but I still got to go live my life. I'm still going to go enjoy the things I want to enjoy. I still need to go to work. I got to go shopping. If that virus was indirectly spread to somebody, that's not me directly causing harm to somebody. You know, it's a conscious action versus a subconscious action. And of course, this has to be broken down in many different categories, and we could talk all day about that stuff. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, I have one life to live, and it's my life. It's not in control of anybody else, and I need to be free to live this life how I see fit. So as long as I am not intentionally trying to cause harm to other people, inflict my will of life on other people, or, you know, impose my fears on other people.
I think that's the key, right? I think that the intent is definitely a driving factor in how how everything is looked at. Again, this debate is going to go on forever, and you know, in terms of, because after COVID, it'll be something else, you know, and we're just not dealing with stuff the way that we used to, you know, maybe even 20 or 40 years ago, right? You know, and there's been other flus, there's been, you know, Hong Kong this and that one and the black that one, and there's always been something, right? And
H1N1 and SARS and everything, you know, and some of these were worse than COVID, you know,
but this
time around, we see it's being used for political gain, political control, and this is wrong. And people are seeing this. People are waking up. And that's one of the things that I've really noticed that was important about doing these rallies is that most people are very non-confrontational. You know, they don't want to fight back. They don't, they go into a business and somebody tells them to put a mask on their face. They don't want to fight back and say no, you know. But what I've noticed is starting these rallies and starting these events, it's given people courage to stand up and fight back. You know, before a whole crowd stands up and fights, the first guy has to stand up in front.
Exactly.
And when the first guy stands up, the second guy stands up, and then the fourth guy. And next thing you know, it's thousands, and then it's millions. I mean, we look at what's going on in Australia and the rest of the world right now. They didn't just start with a million people in Sydney. It started with one outside saying, enough is enough. I'm done. I'm fighting this. And I've had people come up to me at these rallies like, hey, I came from California. I came from Arizona. I came from Texas. The only reason I'm here is because I saw a video of you telling me I was not alone, and now I'm here. And that's what we got to keep doing.
So
it's going to take time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. With your classes for the CCW courses, I'm sure you get more opportunity to speak to your clients and whatnot. Do you find that the majority of everyone is of the same mindset?
Or do you even, you know, do you even have this discussion, you know, while you're training? I mean, you know,
not too often. I mean, there's a lot of people know me now. I mean, I have big social media followings and lots of viral videos, so they do know what I'm doing. I do try to mostly stick to the curriculum in class because it's very regimented and I don't have a lot of time to teach that stuff, but it gets brought up every now and then because there are sections of my speech that, you know, talk about rights, and, you know, the rights come down to the amendments and everything like that, especially the Second Amendment, which
including gun ownership rights. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. So some of the talks that I've about what I'm doing also gets brought in about being free to make your own choice and protect yourself and having the freedom of speech and everything. That's the whole reason, you know, for the Second Amendment, is that if all your other amendments get taken away, that's what this one is here for. It's a last resort, but this is here to use to fight to get those other ones back. And, you know, I don't want to do that. I've been to Iraq. I've had to use my gun in real life before. I had to take human life before, and I don't want anybody to have to do that, but I'm also a realist. This is not off the table. You know, we are a very, very young country, you know, in comparison to the rest of this world, and history does tend to repeat itself. And in my opinion, we are definitely closer to a dictator style president right now than almost ever before. I mean, if you go just a few months back, King Biden literally went on national television and the first words out of his mouth was, "This is not about your freedom." He said that verbatim.
Yeah, I remember like, that. I was like, what did he just say?
How dare you? How dare you? You know what I mean? Like, this is just what people are seeing. And, you know, let's look at just what happened in Virginia, right? How many decades has it been since they went, you know, Republican? It came to a governor.
It's been like 40 years, hasn't it? Hasn't it been 40 years?
It's been a long time. And this just kind of goes to show you maybe we needed Biden to become president, you know, maybe it's just like the people needed to see, look what happens when you put them in power. Look what happens when you gave them an opportunity to run this country. Now look how bad things are now. Look how shitty things have become, you know, and now maybe there's going to be a reversal. You know, honestly, I'm not a Republican. I fucking hate them all, if I'm being honest with you.
I'm
an independent. You know, I guess some people would describe me as more libertarian, but I'm conservative. But I just, you know, I share views on both sides. I really think we need to stop all this different side stuff. But, you know, but maybe people needed to see this. And now it's going to start to change the process of how things go from here.
You know, with the political side, it's a shame, right? Because, you know, you get different parties in power, and all of them do bring or can bring something good, right? Mm. And again, if you're looking at it without separating yourself into a clan, right? you're in a position where you can get some benefit from all the thought processes, but we're so divided, mm-hmm. you know, between these parties and people blindly following these parties,
yeah.
That, you know, you forget all the good stuff that has come, and instead of coming, you know, and this middle of the, you know, the meeting in the aisle type shit, which is, you know, just
never going
to
happen.
Yeah. No, well, and, you know, it's just, to me, it's a bunch of bullshit. It shouldn't be an aisle in the first place. Right. yeah, you know, it shouldn't be Republican or Democrat. Right. It just should be fucking common sense, I think, is what it was, you know?
Yeah, of course. You know, big problem is a lot of people, you know, they tend to just believe what they're seeing on television. But I'm personally seeing a little bit of a shift is, you know, most people know the media lies now. You know, we don't have news anymore. We have media. And a lot of people don't really know what the difference between news and media is. You know, news and true journalism, we don't have that anymore. You know, news and journalism was a presenter that would say, hey, this happened on this day at this time to this person.
Without any opinions. Yeah.
Yeah. No opinion. Do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's, let me tell you a little bit about the story, and let me put some of my personal thoughts on it.
Right. Little Ron Burgundy action going on at this, this
exactly,
point.
Right? So this is one of the reasons why I've been so animate about being on social media and going to the Las Vegas Strip is because 90%+ of every single person nowadays, they're looking on their phone. They're not looking at TV anymore. They're looking at Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok. And yes, the news media channels, they can go live about anything they want. They can edit whatever they want. But if I'm on the Las Vegas Strip and I see 10,000 people out there protesting and I videotape it and I record it and I spread it, you can't take the fact away that millions of people have seen that video and they know that actually happened. You know, we saw this several times because the news media out here, they have lied about what we've done. They're like, oh, there's been a few hundred people on the Strip. There's just been a couple of dozen people on the Strip. When the fact of the matter is, twice now, I've had up to 10,000 plus people out there. And people are pissed because they're like, no, I was there. No, I saw video of that. I saw thousands of people. You lied to me, which also is going to start to grow us together even more because when somebody watches the news lie about it, they directly insult them when they know the truth, which is bringing us closer together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have any, out of curiosity, have any of the protesters showed up with masks?
Very few, except for today, where we're going to have a lot of masks, specifically for one reason. Today is November 5th, and I don't know if you know anything about November 5th.
Remember.
Yep. Remember the 5th of November. This is the Guy Fawkes Gunpowder Treaty, which also went along with the V for Vendetta movie. And, you know, it was very similar and eerie what went on in that movie about the government manufacturing a virus and releasing it to the world. And then a vaccine came out and now everybody's under control. And that kind of seems very similar and eerie to what's going on right now. So we will be out there wearing the Guy Fawkes V for Vendetta mask. As a symbolic statement.
So the masks are coming out today for sure.
Bit of a different mask. Yeah, bit of a different mask.
You want us to wear a mask? This is the only mask I'm going to wear.
Nice.
So it's a point of symbolic. It's a form of protest.
Listen, how many of these protests, and you know, when you tend to stick a group of people together that believe the same thing, and then that perpetuates, right? And more people believe it. They all get into this group, and they start to believe that no matter what, they're right, okay? Because, and regardless of the opinion. How long, you know, how far does this go before you have, you know, people that are on your side of the group that are going to then start, you know, turning the tables and badgering the people with masks, right? And or becoming violent.
Well,
you know,
see, this is the beautiful thing about what I've started. It's freedom of choice. You know, that the beautiful thing about this movement that I've started, because this is a movement, it is a movement of allowing people to make their own choice free of segregation. I have people out there who are wearing masks. I have people out there that says, my husband's vaccinated, my wife's not. We're still here together. You know, this is not about anti-mask or anti-mandate. It's allowing you to make your own choice freely, and we will respect that equally as well. And that's something different that I have done versus what I've seen other protests, because other protests have been anti-mask, anti-vax, don't bring it, don't get it whatsoever, where I wanted to shift the process because I have BLM members in the group. I have Democrats in the group. I have males and females and gays and straights and trans, and they're all out there together under one common cause of let's be free to make our own choice. You know, I had a chance to go to the Las Vegas Strip about a month and a half ago, and I was working with a film crew, and the goal of that day was for me to talk to only mask-wearing individuals and only vaccinated individuals. I want to interview them. And it went exactly like this. I would see somebody wearing a mask, and I said, hey, you know, I see that you're wearing a mask. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to wear that mask? And they would say yes because they're wearing it. And then I would shake their hand. I said, hey, thank you very much. That's your choice. I totally respect your choice. I was like, let me ask you one more question. Do you think that I should be forced to get a vaccination or wear a mask if it's not my choice. Not a single person that I ever interviewed said that I should be forced or mandated to do it if it wasn't my choice. Now see, that's it. That's the common ground. That's where we stop the fighting and the segregation, because there are people who want it, there are people who don't want it, but almost every single person I've met says you should not be forced to do anything.
But when does it become politicized, right? Because again, you know, if you're going to generalize everybody, you are going to have a lot of people that are on the left that are following, you know, the media, right? They're mm-hmm. acting in some cases, and I hate to put it this way, but they're acting as a herd, right? And they're following yeah. along with what they're being told. And then you've got the other side, right? The other side are usually the people who are you know, they're going to be on the right. They're going to be the Republican type, right? The you know, and just a little freer, if you would. Mm-hmm. You know, and at some point, if we've noticed anything, both of those groups eventually take it too far, right? Whether it's the mm-hmm. current, you know, presidency, the previous presidency. I mean, listen, good things on both sides, right? But there's some shit yeah. from both, right? From Trump and from Biden, right? But, you know, yeah. at some point, where does this divide? The divide has to increase to the point, I think, that it becomes a problem, because you're going to get the nuts on the right or the nuts too far on the left, and that's going to cause an issue, right? So how do you plan on controlling that through, you know, the protesting? I understand what you're saying, what the goals are and the freedom aspect of it, but mm-hmm. the fact of the matter is that there's going to be some psychos on both sides of that are going to clash at some point. Right.
Oh yeah, there is, and there's always going to be that, you know. And one of the things that I like to tell a lot of my followers is like, hey, let's focus on, you know, solutions, not problems. You know, I don't really think about the problems. I just think about how we can move things forward. When issues, you know, arise, then we deal with it. And I mean, one thing that I'm doing is I'm working very closely with the Metropolitan Police Department out here and the law enforcement agencies. You know, they're working with us. They're helping us, you know, take care of the streets. They're, working with leaders to say, hey, if you see any problem makers, you know, let's point them out. We actually had one situation where we were at the Raiders stadium, and we had a crazy Raiders fan that tried to attack one of the people in our group. He actually hit a female with her thumb and almost broke her thumb, took her sign, tore it. And instead of fighting, I noticed that our group kind of just surrounded everybody and got law enforcement involved and let them deal with it. I see, like, this is how we can do things differently, because the media wants to show us fighting. They want to show that video right, footage. Exactly. They're not going to show the footage of thousands of us peacefully together, but they'll show that little 2-minute clip of two people fighting, right? So I've been trying to educate people on how does the media work? What is it they're trying to do to divide us? And let's try to work against them. Let's use their own
The propaganda machine that they've,
Yeah, of course, you know, and that's why I want to use social media with cell phone footage to show people what actually happened, and also to help, you know, open up the idea to people that we are not as divided as they say we are. We are not as separate as they say we are. They're trying to convince us that we are, you know, and when in reality, most of us, I mean, when you go out in public, are you fighting with anybody? You know, when you go to a store, do you end up arguing with the teller?
I try to avoid it.
You know, it almost never happens, you know. But the TV shows that it happens constantly, when in reality, when I go shopping or get a haircut or buy gas or food, that never happens.
How about at Kohl's?
See?
I saw the video, buddy.
Yeah, what can I say? You know, there is always going to be problems, but I tell people, don't focus on the problems, focus on the solutions, try to end segregation and fighting, and it's just take it a step at a time. You know, the past has already happened, and the past does not define us, it guides us, and the future is yet to happen. So let's just be right here, right now, and focus on what we can do.
Yeah, listen, I really like the, you know, the whole unity part of it, and the fact that, you know, to be free and have your own opinions and be able to express them doesn't necessarily have to be in a sense that it's going to cause strife for somebody else, right, and cause that fight or that argument. Unfortunately, you know, we're still not evolved enough as humans that, yeah, especially true. With social media, you know, that we can, you know, make a distinction between the two, right? Between what's being said and what's actually being said to you. And people do want to take offense to everything. And so the point that you're going out there and trying to make is, you know, we don't need to do that, right? And that's what I really agree with the most. And not that I disagree with the other stuff, but, you know, the fact that you're trying to bring this, you know, this to light and stop this separation, right?
What I like to tell people is, like, listen, here in America, Americans, we're family. We are. We're family. No matter what you are, no matter if you're from Louisiana or New York or Texas, or you're black or white or Republican or Democrat, we're family. And just like family, sometimes there's family members that you just do not get along with. You know what I mean? And you
I've got a couple.
Agree with. And sometimes you need to separate yourself from that family. But that doesn't mean you're still not my family.
Sure.
I don't want your life to be bad. I don't want you to have a, you know, a horrible, you know, living situation. I don't agree with you. So I need space, you know? But I should still let you live your life the way you want it. I'm just not going to be around you if I don't agree.
And I should be respected on both ends.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
But then there are people who are violent. Yes, there is a small percentage of people who actually try to enforce their will of life on us. They actually try to enforce their fears on us. They do get violent, you know, the Antifa-style people. And they are rare. And these people need to be dealt with properly.
Sure, sure. We have one in downtown. the church guy with the megaphone calling everybody, you know, whores and
sinners.
Yeah, and sinners and whores and yeah, you know, sluts and all that. Yeah.
He's called me a sinner a couple times.
Yeah.
I just say, yeah, maybe
downtown on a Friday night.
It's
you know?
Way more fun, my friend. Come join me. He never has.
Yeah, but the funny thing is,
always those people.
Yeah, and then, but you know, it's a waste of time because you walk by, you laugh, right? You've had a couple of drinks, you laugh at him, you know, and you keep going on your way, and he's still, you know, sitting there trying to push his agenda.
Like you said,
right?
Too, we are very unevolved, you know. And there's even some people we have who are in my group who are they're conservative Republicans, but he's one of the guys that shows up wearing MAGA hat and a Confederate flag over his chest, and then he also is carrying a Bible, spitting Bible verses, and like, bro, like that
kind
favorite, of
way
of doing stuff is dead. Like, stop,
yeah, please.
Like, can we give up the MAGA thing already? Like, I get it. Even if you think that Trump actually did lose illegally to, you know, the rigged elections or everything, it's over. You know, and yeah. a big issue that I think a lot of people have, and I've been trying to retrain their brain on this, is everybody wanted Trump to save the day. Trump to save the day. I was like, you guys need to realize one guy is not going to save the day.
No, we all have to save the fucking day.
We have to. Yes, we have to do this. It's a collective. Let's all be proactive in doing stuff.
I like it. Sounds, this is words to live by. Words to live by. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here, Brennan, but if you would mind, how can people reach out to you? Where can they find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of social media outlets. The first one is my Instagram, Brandon Burns LV. Then you could go to the Las Vegas Freedom of Choice Facebook group. And then for my website, you guys can go to freedom4choice.com. So that's freedom4choice.com. And I am a 503C nonprofit organization. All the money raised and through t-shirt sales and donations does go back to the educational system for children's educational vouchers and to help continue to educate the country as well.
And how about if somebody is in the state of Nevada, in your area, and they want to get their CCW,
right? Yeah, so if you guys want to get your concealed weapons permits, I offer classes several times a month, and that's going to be triaddefense.vegas.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you so much.
Very nice. Yeah, Brennan, good job. Keep up with the good work, and, you know, I wish you all the best of luck.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, good luck.
Well, thank you for joining us for yet another episode of All Up in Your Business, the First Union Lending. I've been Chad.
DNA.
And Tim.
I think we have gotten all up in everybody's business.
We got all up in the biz on this one.
Yeah, good interview. Loved it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you want to follow us and learn more about First Union Lending, go to firstunionlending.com. You can find all of the social media links in the show notes. If you would like to send a business-related question, please send it to podcast@firstunionlending.com. Have a good one, everybody. Stay safe out there.
Bye.
Love that
DNA
neighbor.
Out.
Bye.